From KLCC Media, this is the Oregon Grapevine. I'm Barbara Dellenbach. The Oregon Grapevine highlights fresh-pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live. Jason Skipton is the executive director of Growing Gardens, an organization working toward every home having equal access to fresh produce and a sincere desire to understand, participate in, and improve our local food system. Thank you so much, Jason, for being on the Oregon Grapevine. Let's start with Growing Gardens and the programs that the organization has created and sustained.
Well, it's a pleasure to be able to talk about this work, especially it's so important to focus on the different levels and areas within our food system that maybe sometimes as consumers we don't think about. But for us as an organization, we are a 501c3 nonprofit. We have been around for 30 years. Next year actually will be our 30th anniversary. So feeling really, really happy about what we've been able to accomplish over these last 29 years. So Growing Gardens has three main programs, right? Kind of think of them as like either roots or kind of like these buckets of work that we're doing in populations. And so our Home Gardens program is working in about 300 families, like their homes, backyards, and getting gardens built and support them, right? So the idea of how to provide a home-based garden intervention, and we'll talk about that. I use that word very specifically. To be able to reduce as many barriers as possible for people to then grow food in their backyard, side yards, or in their neighborhoods, right? To then be able to sustain their families and their neighbors. We'll talk about that as well. But really this idea of then how to engage at the neighborhood and family level of getting gardens built in their backyards. This is a three-year program as well. So as a family comes into our organization, we then support them with all the materials that they would need down to the garden, soil, seeds, all those things to be successfully growing food here in the Pacific Northwest. We also have another program. So our other kind of like, you know, bucket or big roots to our work is called Youth Grow, where we are working in 11 elementary schools, one high school, and 5 early childhood education centers, doing garden-based education, getting kids outside, getting kids in the tactile learning environment, getting their hands in the dirt, but also embedding math and science into those gardens. So then teachers are reaching those, you know, academic standards that they need, but also you're looking at the fun, interactive way of learning math, learning science. And then, you know, positive benefit at the end is kids get to then eat these things that they're then growing in their gardens, which is like, you know, what we've seen in a lot of studies have really seen this is that when kids are a part of their food system, from seeds to planting to harvesting, they're going to try whatever it is, right? It could be broccoli. It could be something else that maybe they didn't like prior just because it was different, right? And so having them be a part of that process really opens up those doors for curiosity, especially for trying new fruits and vegetables. And then our last program is called Let Us Grow, where we are working in 14 correctional facilities across the state of Oregon, providing a year of horticulture education and then hands-on production, meaning we're then offering 3 job credential certificates for people to then go through the training of sustainable horticulture, which is really the academic portion of the Master Gardener training. We also have a greenhouse management course as well. And so it's this idea of getting people engaged in our food system and then getting outside. We help grow about 350,000 pounds of produce each year inside correctional facilities that go back into correctional facility kitchens for people currently incarcerated to have access to healthy food.
Let's start with the backyard gardens. It can be pretty daunting, I think, for people to say nothing of saying, oh, I'm just going to go to the grocery store and buy my own broccoli. It's going to be there and right. It's wrapped in plastic or whatever, and I'm going to eat. You don't really think about it. But I think it can be daunting for people to think, wow, I have to get the dirt and I don't even know what to do with that soil. And how do you even get people to think they want to take that first step?
Yeah, great question. In the sense that, you know, I will give a little bit of background too. Like I grew up in that setting. I grew up in a garden. I grew up in a low-income family that needed food, didn't have enough in the wintertime, right? And grew up with my mom growing food and growing different things and figuring out, you know, what grows well here and what do we want to eat? What can we can and preserve? We have a unique model in our home gardens program in the sense that it is a decentralized model, meaning we have people who live and work in their neighborhoods who are then the ones who are leading the home gardens program with their neighbors. And so it's a very centralized part to our work. It doesn't just come out of our, central office. And so that is a really big key to this, right? So how can people who are neighbors then see what's happening in their other neighbor's yard and be like, oh, cool, you're growing. I didn't know you could grow that here. Or what are you growing? And so it kind of provides this invitation to talk about what is happening and what can be grown. And then, Barbara, like listeners probably know this, right? You plant two zucchini plants, you've planted too many zucchini plants, right? You're gonna have a lot. And that idea is you're gonna then have so much, you're gonna have an abundance that you then start sharing with people. And people are like, oh, where'd you get this? Or this is really great, or this is really cool. And then that opens up this door to facilitate, well, do you want to try growing some of your own? So it's down to really like that neighborhood and almost like block to block community building aspect through food, right? So this idea of then recruiting people that way, people can then get signed up into our program. There is a small application process that people go through. And then to your great point, what we do is we do a site visit with every family that comes into our organization, right? So we go out, our community organizer goes out and does like, okay, what do you want to grow? What is your growing experience? What does the site look like? Okay, do you want to do an in-ground or do you need a raised bed because your mobility, you can't actually get down to the ground anymore or dig with a shovel anymore. Like you need a ADA accessible raised bed. So we don't have necessarily like a cookie cutter model of a garden that people could get. It's really tailored to every single individual of how much they want to grow, where do they want to grow, and what kind of, support do they need to be able to grow something in their neighborhood and in their house, right? So we take those steps. We also take this really deliberate step. We test all the soil, right? We don't want to have something that could potentially harm people's health through growing food. So we test for heavy metals. We mainly test for lead, right? That's one of those big things we got to be looking at, especially in the backyards where there could be lead contamination. So we look at those aspects and we talk about those things. Okay, what could be the best site position for your garden? And then, yeah, you're right. We then say, cool, okay, we're going to build a garden together. So then we figure out, okay, they want a 4x8 raised bed. Great. We then come out and we cut the lumber and we build the garden with them. And then we fill it with soil. And then we talk about like all of those things that you would need and ask them, hey, do you need a hose? Do you need a shovel? Do you need a hand trowel? What do you need? And then we find all of those pieces and give them all of those pieces to be successful in growing food, right? So we know that it can be expensive. We know that a barrier to not only just buying the materials to have a garden is expensive, but also then the work and the planning also takes time. And so we offer like that, that 1-2 combo where we come in and say, great, yeah, you can grow here. Here's what you could grow. And then here's all of the things that you need to be successful in growing, down to seeds and plant starts. And then after the garden is then planted, right, we have things like that's in the ground. We then do monthly trainings with every family that comes in. So we talk about what's happening right now, like in our climate, right? Okay, it's really rainy, like we don't need to water anymore. Or, hey, it's really warm, we need to water some more. And we'll do site visits. So our community organizer goes back and does site visits with that family and says, okay, this is what I'm doing in my garden right now. Let's take a look. Or, hey, do you have questions? So it's kind of like that quasi, extensionist that comes out and does like big, large scale, but this is really at the home scale. And Barbara, to be really just direct and simple to the point, it's about building trust and respect and relationships with people in our community through food and through gardening. Like that's the essence of this. And through this process, then really builds that trust for people to have someone come to your home. Like in our country, that's kind of like a big, like a walled off area. Like my home is like, my sanctuary. And this is a place where then people can then come in and start to then build that trust and respect.
So tangentially with the Youth Grow program, which I want to go into partly because of a whole side note about math, I've been having conversations with people about math. I was a terrible math student, and I've often said they should be teaching you how to do math that has to do with building things or cooking or sewing or knitting. So it's great to think of outdoor education and learning the math of seeds. But do the kids from that youth grow often then kind of transition into being involved or getting their families necessarily to have a home garden? Or how does that kind of relationship work?
Yeah, it's a great question again. Yeah, and I think, for us to be able to make education fun and interactive, also like really, based in, reality, right? So what do you need to, how many, inches apart do you need to plant a seed or a plant, right? There's all math embedded into these things and a lot of science too, which we could talk a lot about fun science, especially around seeds. But yeah, so bringing that into this conversation and having kids look at and doing almost like, they'll take a ruler, like a tape measure, and then do square foot gardening. And so you think about, okay, like this is a square foot. This is what it means. Like, how do you then start to then put your seeds throughout this square foot? And then they'll track and graph plant growth. So it could be peas or it could be corn. It could be other things that they're then graphing and using then real life examples into their math problems. So yeah, there's some really cool crossover between kids and then their parents. And I'll give one example, especially around cooking. So we do something called like an education take-home kit, or sometimes we'll call them a culinary take-home kit, where it's this idea of we're then buying locally grown produce. We're then having an education session or workshop at each school. And then kids get to take home a bag filled with all of the instructions and all of the ingredients of how to make this product. So one of them would be like green salsa or salsa verde. So we have tomatillos and jalapenos and onions and all these things. And we do a whole session where we cook with them and we make it, and then we send it home with them. And then the kids make it at home with their parents. And it's this really this way of engaging the family or the whole family unit into this process, which then leads to people understanding like, oh, well, what is this program and what are you doing? How can we then start growing these things? And so sometimes we've even sent home kids with pots that have plants in them or seeds in them that they can then start to grow at home. Or we'll then put into, the conversation, like our application for parents to then be engaged in our home gardens program and then start growing vegetables at their homes as well.
And we'll get back to some of this, but I'd like to also delve a little more into the Let Us Grow program and whether that is a model that someone, did you all dream it up? And if so, is it spreading to other places? How did it work? And it seems like it can be difficult to go to a correctional institution and say, I have this great idea and I want to come in, and there's a whole bunch of bureaucratic issues around why you can't. So how did it happen? And what is the support, and is it spreading to other places?
Yeah, so this is, one of our, most impactful programs that we have, working across the state of Oregon. And here's the thing too, like for listeners, you might not see our work. You might not know Growing Gardens is in your county because we're working inside a correctional facility, right? So the idea that we do have a statewide presence, it is really big for us. And it's this idea, you ask the question of how did this get started? I will say Let Us Grow has been around now over a decade. It really got started with this idea of a collaboration between Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, which is the women's prison just outside in Wilsonville, Oregon, and Portland State University. They had a class, a sustainability class, that was half students from PSU and half students who were incarcerated at Coffee Creek. And they had a discussion, and it was led by the founder of Let Us Grow. Her name's Sarah Van Rue. And the discussion kind of started like, hey, what does sustainability look like inside this correctional facility? And the women who are currently incarcerated there said, hey, we'd really like to, not only like beautify and have more nature inside this correctional facility, but we want to then also grow food and then build our skills so that we can grow food here, but also that we can take this skill with us once we return to society. So we can then have more food security with our family and our kids and things like that. So it was really this joint class that got started at Coffee Creek Correctional Facility. And that's really where Let Us Grow started. And it was at Coffee Creek, and it was doing amazing work. And the garden there on the inside is just fantastic. It's massive. And so that built a partnership with the Department of Corrections. That then led to other correctional facilities then wanting to engage in this program as well. And so it kind of got, basically got started at one place and then went to the next facility and the next facility and the next facility and started to then really expand across the state of Oregon, where we work all the way out, in Ontario, Oregon at Snake River and all the way down in Lake County, and out in Tillamook as well. And so that kind of spread across the state. I would say yes, there are definitely other programs across our country that are offering garden-based programming. There, we do have this directory that we developed as an organization of what are all the programs and what are the differences and/or similarities across the country. There's a little bit of a difference of like we're not working in a correctional facility that's in the state of Oregon or the state of California just because they are different systems. But there is a model here that we have been able to share at national conferences and other places to then say, this is what we're doing here in the state of Oregon to then engage people who are currently incarcerated on building skills, building job training skills, but also getting food into these facilities as well.
I believe that everything is connected, and therefore I believe and know, and I'm sure you share the fact that the whole food system and food deserts and food security has a real, for lack of a better word, political aspect to it and an activist aspect to it. Even though people think, well, food, I can go, what how is that possibly political? And I know on your webpage it talks a little bit about radical gardening, and I'd love for you to go into what that is and what that means and how it's used.
I think, for sure. Yeah, every time we buy things, right? And I'm going to talk about food. Every time we buy food, we're making a choice. We're making a choice on where that money goes, right? And so thinking about how to really invest in farmers that are in your county, right? That could be, it could be through a community supported agriculture box, right? A CSA box, a vegetable box. It could be through a meat share, other places. It could be at your farmer's market. It could be at a co-op or other places, right? That those are people who live in our community and supporting farmers who live in our communities is the most direct way to make the financial impact in our food system, period. And that every time we make a meal, every time we eat something, we are making a political decision on who we support in our food system and where those dollars go. So, yes, it is a huge part of our work and how we engage with farmers, right? That our food system is vast, right? Like that's the thing that is at sometimes daunting to kind of wrap our heads around is we have the luxury to go to grocery stores and have abundance all the time, right? And it's this whole back system that is getting all of this amazing food to our stores on a daily basis that we don't really see. And sometimes even understand, unless for us, right, that idea is grow that thing, grow a broccoli plant and know, wow, this broccoli took a long time to grow to actually get to like the full maturity. It's not overnight. Agriculture is not an instantaneous system at all. Growing food is difficult in general, let alone now as our climate is rapidly changing, where we've had on record, these are the last 5 years. We've had the wettest April on record 1 year. 12 or 12 months later, we have the driest April on record, right? And to farm and kind of, you have to predict, right? You have to estimate what's coming down the road. And that makes it really, really hard. That makes it almost sometimes impossible to be growing food on a consistent basis. So, there's a lot of that happening in our work, and that we engage with farmers, we engage with food businesses, we engage with restaurants, and thinking about what are all of those pieces of our food system and how can we help support and uplift those together. And part of that is for us is radical gardening. And sometimes people might be like, well, what does that mean? Like this isn't radical at all. This is just growing food. And I think for us is we want to get people involved in this food system and this food movement of growing food and sharing food and really nourishing ourselves holistically through food and our communities. And so for us, it's this radical idea of yes, this is our time to start planting things in the soil, to start taking back our food system, to start reaching out to others, right? To share our bounty with others, to care for others, either, internally as your own family unit or the neighbor across the street who maybe doesn't have enough food to eat. And so for us, it's this idea of thinking about growing food as this concept of building strong and united communities together. And at some points, that kind of seems like a radical, like fresh idea. And this isn't the radical sense in like the negative sense. This is then the radical sense of like we want activation and engagement and people to try, put something in the ground and look and see what happens. And look and see what happens also internally to you. The person who does grow something, and what we've seen throughout our work is the amount of self-esteem, the amount of interest in what's happening, the amount of interest in our environment when you care and plant for something in the ground that will eventually nourish you, right? So how do you then nourish that back to ensure that it's going to be thriving and healthy?
You've talked about soil a bit and kind of touched on testing it. This may seem, it sounds kind of like an elementary and not very important question, but why does soil matter? What are the things about the soil from the beginning that affect us that maybe we don't even think about?
You have to have soil to grow plants, right? I know there's other, we can talk about other systems of growing things, right? But let's just talk about soil right now.
Right.
And that really is like, that's where you're going to get your full production in having a healthy soil, right? Having a soil that is being cared for and not depleted and not overworked. And that's a reflection on us, Barbara, as people, right? Like that's also a reflection of us and how we expect something to perform form for us all the time, consistently, but we don't invest in it. That doesn't, there's no real models like that in this world where you're not going to get depletion somewhere. And so this idea about continuing to feed and engage and understand our soil, because there is this other aspect of it that doesn't get a lot of talk, or there is research for sure that I could definitely share if you want to send out or things like that. But it's this idea that there is so much beneficial bacteria in our soil that we don't even know yet. And one of those that we've seen a lot in our work is there is a specific soil bacteria that is absorbed through your skin and it mimics antidepressant medication. It can last for up to 2 weeks of positive effects by just touching the soil, just being engaged, right? And so this idea of when I garden or, I'm in the soil, I don't use gloves. I want to have a direct contact with the soil. A lot of times I'll do it barefoot. Obviously I'm not using like heavy machinery and things like that, but I'll garden barefoot because I want to have my skin touch the soil as much as possible. And so there is this aspect that healing the soil heals us, and that there are so many positive aspects to this, not just producing more, bigger food, but also how does it then impact us, right, through our skin and through our gut? Those are two huge things that are healthy soil when we are caring for it, and nourishing the soil also in return nourishes us.
How did you come to doing this work?
Yeah, it's been a long pathway. I would say something that's always been a big focus of mine is how do communities work? And I'll talk a little bit about that in my just education. But like I had mentioned earlier, to the start to this, Barbara, I grew up in a garden with my mom. We did not have enough to eat. We needed government assistance to be able to have enough nutrients in our home to survive. And my mom started with a small little plot of growing food and encouraged and really made me be a part of the process, right? That became a chore, but it was something that I did every day. And it's something that was really important for me. Now, did I know at that time as an 8-year-old what that would mean for my career? Definitely not. Definitely not. But I have these memories of picking red raspberries, off of the canes, and weeding and thinning out plants, and then cooking with her and canning with her. And so that really translated further down the road as I got older into studying community development and studying how do communities build and connect with one another through agriculture. How does our agricultural system and communities work together, and where is that really amazing overlap for that to happen? So hopefully your viewers have heard of the Peace Corps. I was a Peace Corps volunteer, which is really this idea of engaging in other parts of the world and having volunteers go out into the world and learn about other countries and then also share about our country and then come back to our country and then share with others about your experience. So I was an agriculture volunteer. I lived in Central America. I lived in Nicaragua in the northern part of the country and worked with subsistence bean farmers. And really engaged in the food system and where I saw farmers and communities come together and did a lot of work really around nutritional based crops. And then, came back to Oregon after being gone for 5 years. And I worked at a different nonprofit in North Portland and then went to OSU and got a master's in public health. And you might be like, oh, well, that's interesting. Like food system work, community work, health work, right? And a lot of times people are like, that, how did that happen? But I'm like, well, let's really look at this. Let's look at how do we maybe do a lot of preventative care and actually try to help people avoid being sick by looking at our food system and looking at engaging with what we're eating and how we're supporting our soil and our farmers. And so I did my research in Bolivia and La Paz on the first urban garden in the country. And really looking at how to engage with community and food access. And then this job with Growing Gardens opened up. And I applied. I had never really been an executive director. Well, I had never been an executive director. I had really worked in the fields, right? Worked with my hands in the soil with people. I've been able to then really develop these skills of how to then kind of have this know-how of on the ground and then support our teams to then move forward and continue to push these initiatives further and further out there. And talk about this in really bold ways.
Are there an is there or are there, I guess, an anecdote or two perhaps of you watching someone coming in and maybe going, I can't even imagine putting my hands in dirt, and then later doing something related to that, whether it's teach their aunt how to cook or whatever the I'm not trying to put the anecdote into your voice, but can you think of a story or two that really kind of reflects on this work?
Gosh, that could be a whole nother episode, to be quite honest with you. And this isn't me trying to skirt the
No,
question,
it's
right? But
fine.
I will be real that there are so many of these. There are so many of these that we hear daily, right? And sometimes it's so positively overwhelming that you're like, wow, like investing in people, investing in our food system, investing in positivity, investing in positive self-esteem, and also the other side to that is how to reduce stress, right? And having our work be all of those, right? And really look at how does a garden reduce people's stress and create an oasis for people. So there are a couple of these, right? That one in particular, our model prior to being kind of decentralized and kind of spread across the neighborhoods in our home gardens program. We had one person who really wanted to join the program, but they were kind of outside of the geographic region that we covered. And he kept asking and said, let's do this. I'm ready. I'm ready to get a garden. He's like, can we just try? And I think that's the thing about this individual is he's really pushed our organization to say yes to trying. So we tried. And he then became this amazing gardener and organizer, who then started then getting others to then be engaged in his neighborhood. And so that's what really led us to start our community organizer model in our home gardens program was this one individual who said, hey, I want to be a gardener. I know you're not doing it here. How can I get my people involved? And then he then became the first community organizer. So we're like, okay, let's try this being a community organizer. So then you're leading it in your own neighborhood, which then has led to having 10 community organizers. And that one community organizer who started it, he is now our home gardens manager. And he's then supporting all of those organizers across the city. So there's those aspects. There's so many from people who are in our Lettuce Grow program who are returning to society and are continuing to grow food for their families and really have that sense of self-sufficiency and reliancy on themselves that then they can then grow the food that they need for their families. What else can I give you? There's another one too. Like, I think there's the other one around our, we do, so we do have a CSA program, or community supported agriculture program. This started during the pandemic, as we were growing, and building gardens. People were really excited, and they're like, this is awesome. I'm gonna have food in 30 days. What do I do about tonight? And at that point, we're like, hey, is the grocery store gonna be open? I don't know. Like, what's happening? Grocery store shelves were empty. We also were hearing from farmers, and farmers were like, look, I have 3 acres of vegetables planted, and they were all set to go to restaurants. And all of these restaurant contracts have been canceled because all the restaurants are closed. What do I do? And it became this, connection of community needing food and farmers needing to sell food. I didn't want them to donate it to us. I think that's a big thing too, especially for farmers listening. We know that it's very hard to grow food. And so we then started looking at funding. How could we then get funding to then actually buy those 3 acres of vegetables and then deliver them to families who needed them? And so working with farmers to then do that, a couple of farmers who their whole entire businesses and they were about ready to stop farming were able to continue to stay farming with connections that we had and to continue to move their work forward and really support them. So those are some of the couple of things. I could definitely talk a lot more about how our engagement is really building like this health and wellness at the community level.
We could go on a lot longer, but we won't this time. And I would love to have a longer conversation. I think it's deep and important. So I really thank you so much for the work you do, Jason Skipton, for Growing Gardens and Beyond, and for being here on the Oregon Grapevine.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I would say, maybe you're not looking for me to give like a last piece here, but I would just
Please
say
do.
like, try, go out there and engage, go out there and grow something, go out there and support your farmers, however that is. Like, we need everyone who's listening to engage in a different level in our food system and invest further into our food system to support Oregon agriculture.
Thanks so much. You've been listening to KLCC Media's The Oregon Grapevine, fresh pressed conversations with people who are actively and passionately creating the present and future in which they wish to live.